Bleed Red.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yes, the podcast where we talk about botany and all of its wonderful contributions to modern science.
All right, so that's what we're here to talk about this week. We've got our special guest, botanist Mr. Daniel Noonan.
I'm so underprepared right now. Hello.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Dan, that we didn't chlorophyll you in.
Oh, my God.
Straight in with the wordplay.
Now we're to talk about, oh, it's the fucking film episode. So we decided to come back and give you a little send-off treat.
Yeah.
I give you the final four film episodes.
All back to back.
Yeah, back to back.
Will we have mentioned that by the time they hear this, or is this just going to be like, surprise, four bonus episodes?
Let it be a lovely surprise.
All right.
Let it be like Anthrax in the mail.
Surprise!
Because you always write surprise on it.
Yeah. Yeah, have you introduced yourself?
Come on, Dan.
I don't think so. I'm Dan. There we go.
Yeah, Dan's back.
Yeah, Dan's been with us for all the film episodes, all the previous film episodes.
Yes. So we're here to finish off this series.
Finish what we started.
Yes.
Yes. It's been a bit easier from the fifth film onwards.
Why? You know?
Well, the first four films were quite difficult.
What?
They're a real slog. Do you not feel that? No, I don't mean recording the episodes. I mean watching
the films.
I mean watching the films. Yeah.
I mean, like, they're all a slog.
Now, film three is the only one I'll watch without having to be put under duress.
Three's like, fine.
Three's great. The others are like, I don't know. What's the like equivalent? What's the emotional equivalent of having like a jackhammer brought to your shins? I'll tell you, it's the Harry Potter films.
I find in general they're sort of fine, but it's like having a drink that you really, really like the flavour of in the Harry Potter story, but the films are like a really, really watered down version. Like the flavour's just only barely there.
Like you want a Coca-Cola, but you get like virgin cola. Do you remember that?
I just feel like Harry Potter is a drink that you like the flavour of after like a sip, it's fine. But then as soon as you've had the third one, you've had enough.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is? It's like if you've only ever seen the films are great. But if you've read the books, it's like, because I spend most of the time watching the films thinking, oh, they cut that bit out.
So this is
cut that bit out.
This is a good point. I've only read up until the fourth book.
Oh, of course,
so
yeah.
So my knowledge of the Harry Potter universe is like books 1 to 4, but then movies 5 to 8.
Right.
So I don't know what they left out from movies 5 to 8.
This
so
will be interesting, because I wonder if there's any bits that you like, what does that mean?
But what does that mean?
I'm like, you're a nut, Dan.
Crazy in the coconut.
I'm glad you got that reference, because I have no idea what you're fucking talking about.
I felt like this fifth one was the most sufferable of the non-Alfonso Cuarón movies.
Other seven?
Yeah.
All the movies that aren't Prisoner of Azkaban.
And maybe it's because this is the only movie, the rest of them were all written by, the screenplay was written by this one guy, I can't remember the name, but movie number 5 had a different screenwriter for some reason.
Ah.
And I felt like the pacing of it was a bit,
I agree.
Like it was a bit more amped up, and like you felt like things were moving and happening.
But I think it's because these are the first of the Mike Newell films. So Mike Newell did the last half of all the Harry Potter films.
David Yates?
No. David Yates is, no, you're right. Who's Mike Newell? Mike Newell did Goblet of Fire, sorry. Yeah, David Yates.
So, oh, we hate him.
Yeah, we do hate him. I hope he's dead now.
That's the fourth one, right?
Yes.
Oof, good
right?
God.
Yeah,
that's...
I hope he got AIDS. He's like, honey, I need to tell you something.
You know, that Harry Potter film I worked on. gave me the new disease.
Which one, dear? You know, the gay one. Oh, God. But yeah, like, all the second half of the series does have this, like, a kind of a similar tone.
Yeah.
Because they're all done by the same guy. And I think he's good. He's not as good as Alfonso.
Nah.
But no one's as good as the Fonz. You know? No.
But this, yeah, you're right. Like, these are technically really well put together, like, crafted really well. I mean, not to speak of the story, but in terms of just film craft, yeah. They're
all really pretty. They're all like, yeah. They've all got like a particular, like, you know, like a grade. Like film 6 is very green.
Ugh, green and grey. And this one, number 5, is really blue. It's just blue all over the place.
But I kind of like it. I like that each film has its own like particular colour.
I don't even notice this shit, man. Just like, oh look, it's Harry, like, and Ron and Hermione.
And I noticed that Emma Watson's tits got a bit bigger.
No, I think film six is the first film in which it's okay to notice things like that.
I think I've sussed it, actually, just realizing now why this movie stands out as like one of the better ones. It's because there's no fucking Quidditch in it.
There is no Quidditch whatsoever. Yeah. There's also no Draco Malfoy. There's apart from like one line when he delivers horribly on the platform, which is like, I suspect there's a son in Azkaban with a name on it, Potter. And then he makes a stupid face that gets imprinted on a wall.
In the fireworks, which that bit's dumb as fuck.
Yeah, that bit is dumb. And those are like, that's the only two bits, appearances from Draco Malfoy.
That's really
fun
though, is it? When I used to watch it, he was in The Flash, like the TV adaptation of the comic book. And he was actually great. Like, he was actually a really good actor in it. And I think in film 6, we'll get to it, but this is the last film where Daniel Radcliffe is proper shit, I think.
Yeah, there's a one or two bum lines in the 6th one, but he's much better, noticeably better.
I think because he did Equus either just before the... No, probably just after this one, I think.
I thought that about Tom Felton as well, that in film 6 he's much better.
Is that Draco Malfoy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emma Watson doesn't get good with inverted commas until film 7.
No.
And I remember thinking, I bet she's had acting classes. And it turned out she'd had taken like an elective drama class at Brown University.
Oh, she was living in America, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
With her money.
Ugh.
But yeah, I was like, oh, she...
She didn't earn.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Can't stand her and her stupid hair. Fucking hell.
Well, my main thing about Hermione is it really necessary for her to be so fucking posh? Like, is it really necessary for Hermione to talk like this throughout the whole film? Her parents are fucking dentists. They're not Lord and Lady Granger.
That is a really good point. But I think she's not meant to be Lord and Lady. I think she's meant to be from Guilford, right? Like, that's
pretty much.
That's the kind of area.
I would have preferred like Scouse Hermione. Like you so famously did. Yeah. I would have preferred that. This is the first sort of film where the stuff they start to cut out, for me, like, it... I think it's quite detrimental to the actual, like, story.
Well, I know how you love the Quidditch.
I literally didn't even notice that Quidditch wasn't in this film.
Isn't there a bunch of Rita Skeeter stuff, though? I did kind of glance over the Wikipedia page.
Oh, in the book there is.
Yeah, they didn't include it in the movie.
No.
There's just general mentions about how Harry's getting smeared in the papers.
Yes, I walked into the boy's dorm and he was just covered in shit.
He's just licking it off the walls.
These smear tactics.
No, I wanted smear tactics, Harry, not smear tic tacs. Oh. He's like, oh, I thought you wanted that minty brown kind of flavor, you know? So why is it on the wall? Mm-hmm.
I went a little off script. What do you like?
Minty Brown's the name of his alter ego.
He does blackface.
Yeah, exactly. But you heard it here first, everyone. Cancel Daniel Radcliffe.
He's Minty. Minty Brown.
Hashtag down with Minty Brown.
Ooh, he looks so smooth. Yeah, baby, like an after eight. Ooh, Minty.
What is this advertising? Oh, God.
Do you know what? I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, God.
But do you remember what you did at the beginning of every Order of the Phoenix book episode?
Yeah. Why? Do you want me to do one now?
I mean, we could.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay, I'll just start whatever happens afterwards. Oh, God. Order of the Phoenix. He's like a little black clown. So put him in your mouth. Get you some Minty Brown.
Yes. Yes.
Nice. I knew it wouldn't disappoint.
Jesus, it's all downhill from here.
Oh, God. Just Harry coming down on, like, his birthday, and he's got, like, an afro wig on, like, a minstrel makeup. And he's like, I thought it was about time that I showed you my truth.
It wouldn't surprise me if this is just, like, a Dursley household coming of age, like, thing. That just, everyone does it on their 16th birthday.
Virginia, fetch the Minty Brown costume.
I always knew you had it in you, boy. That's why we had you living under the stairs, you know, we wanted to bring you out. Oh.
Jesus.
Yes, unpaid labour.
Speaking of Durs, I mean, should we start talking about the movie, maybe?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like this.
Yeah, there might not end up being a whole lot of talk about what happens in the actual film. But let's at least make some sort of attempt.
Yeah, I simply say so because it opens on Dudley bullying or picking on Harry.
I think you mean the 40-year-old man pretending to be Dudley.
Yes, I do apologise. The 40-year-old man who looks like he's in Goldie looking chain.
Yeah.
What are they wearing? Like, no...
Guns don't kill people. Big D kills people.
What? What did you say?
I said guns don't kill people. Big D does.
Do you know who I fucking hated in this film? Mrs. Fig.
Oh, yeah? She was just such a wet fart.
Yeah. Oh, what a perfect fucking description.
Yeah.
Yeah, she...
I was really... Because it's been ages since I've seen this. I was really expecting her... to be more in this movie, and she just wasn't.
When the book, she's kind of like a scrappy, like, I don't know, sort of like a Peggy Mitchell kind of, like, character, you know?
Yeah.
She's got that sort of, like, oh, don't put your wand away, Harry! But then she's like, don't put your wand away.
Also, I feel like she's supposed to be, like, super old. She looks about 45 in these films.
Yeah, she can tell that her husband left her 5 years ago because he didn't expect her to age the way that she had.
He wanted her old.
Apparently, if you grow up near like a nuclear plant, you like it can make you age like super fast.
Does that mean that like Dudley grew up near a nuclear plant? Because holy
shit,
he
looks really old.
He is not age appropriate.
Yeah,
as a term I've learned on this show.
He's easily in his like early 20s, I think, in this.
Visibly.
Yeah. Alas, he's a terrible actor.
Yeah.
As they all are, really.
Yeah.
Anyone under 25 is not good in this film.
Not in this one.
Any of them, really.
I remember...
Apart from Luna. I like Luna.
She's good. Yeah. And the Scottish Quidditch player, he's all right in the earlier ones.
Oh, Oliver Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was. I miss Oliver Wood.
Yeah, no Quidditch in this film.
And Pattinson's not bad.
What did you say?
I agree. Yeah. I think he's good.
Yeah. He's awful in every way. Oh, God. Anyway, Petunia, I thought she was dressed inappropriately for a woman of her age.
I was about to say,
absolutely.
I found that summer dress quite sexy.
I was like, oh, right. I like where this is going.
She's working those legs. And I'm here for it.
Yeah. Well, I would have definitely bent her over the kitchen cabinet. I wouldn't have done anything.
Just pull those labia down into a penis shape for me.
Put like a rubber band around it.
Make it look like bollocks.
Yes.
I think I just got a hemorrhoid laughing at that. So fuck.
Oh dear. Can't really remember what happens after
that. I do. I just like Vernon saying you've made him all yumpy. I thought that
yumpy.
Was, yeah, I was like, oh, I've never heard that before. Yeah. But I was like, that's a. I love that term.
Yumpy.
Yeah,
he's gone that, like, that is what he. Look how yumpy he is.
He's because he's all like catatonic and
wow.
And he says, "You've made the boy all yumpy." And I was like, oh, I need to start using that. That's bloody brilliant.
It's yeah. probably like a really like homophobic slur.
Yeah, good point.
Look at him, his bristle fucking limb.
Made him come over all queer.
Look at the way he's looking at Petunia's labia.
No, Daddy, we don't have any rubber bands.
No, anyway, fucking... I hate that she's even in this film. But Heliothorpe Buffy fucking shows up.
Who's that again?
The cunt who plays Tonks.
Jesus
oh,
Christ.
Tonks, yeah. She's
that
doing...
level of hatred. I don't know where it comes from, man. She's fine.
No, she's not fine.
But she's in this for all of like 30 seconds.
Yeah, like they did have additional scenes and they were like, we can't keep this in the film.
Really?
She makes me sick, is what they said.
But what's your beef with her?
She's a terrible actress.
Oh, I just disagree.
And she has a face that I want to just put in tarmac. Like, I just can't... Her whole vibe is so fucking cringe. When he's like, oh, something Nymphadora. And she was like, don't call me Nymphadora.
Yeah, that line is kind of cringe, but I feel like
that was her best take, Tom.
I feel like they probably... Because that really should be like a quick... Like, yeah. quick snap retort line. But I sort of suspect that they told her to hang on it for a while because we needed to see the hair change.
Yeah, that's fine. So she could have taken direction and did it well.
I really... this is some weird, like, personal vendetta, man. Like,
if I ever see her in the street, I'm going to fucking stop and tell her exactly what I think about her.
Wow.
I don't care if she looks like she's just had the worst day of her life. I'm like, this is it. Oh God!
Fucking hell!
Has she been in anything else?
No,
like, no.
Yeah,
no, well, she hasn't. This is her only job.
She was in About a Boy.
Yeah, that's when I first started hating her.
Yeah,
do you remember that film?
Oh, vaguely.
She was the punky goth chick that in school.
Okay, yeah.
And she's in Game of Thrones, which I know you haven't seen, and she gets naked in Game of Thrones.
Does she have a lot of lines in Game of Thrones?
In one season, yeah, she has a bit where she's quite key to a bit of plot.
Well,
but not like on an ongoing. She only comes in about season 5 and then is in for a few episodes.
Was she good in Game of Thrones?
I think so.
Well, she's good in this. She's doing duck impressions. She's bloody brilliant at them.
She had lines in that scene, but they covered her mouth with the duck thing and made it silent.
I really want that to be true.
Oh God.
All right, moving on from hate speech.
we got
nothing.
Yeah. Right. Bye guys. Yeah. No, they steal him away in like, okay, so this bit, they fly across the Thames, don't they?
Yeah.
On room 6. Have you guys played Lego Harry Potter?
No.
Cause that game is actually, well, I think it's dope.
Yeah.
And or it's not, it's like Lego Harry Potter 5, presumably. And there's a great section where you're flying across it. And this movie actually reminded me of that game and made me realize how true to the movies the Lego games are. Like, they're really well replicated. But this bit, and then what happens next, they go to the park and then they open the buildings.
Yeah, that's
and I'm just thinking, like, what? How is no one noticing that the buildings?
I know. And how did no one see a bunch of people on broomsticks flying over the Thames?
Yeah.
Like, they don't do disillusionment charms because we see Mrs. Fig watching them from the window, like watching them as they fly away.
Yeah, yeah. She was like rubbing one out just on the edge of that fucking table.
Oh, or just on the corner.
Yeah, just like easy white.
Flicking the bean. Just like, oh, God.
See all like the varnish is worn off.
She's got a brass door handle and it's just like worn away. It's like the David
Hume thing. She sandwiches herself in between the door and the table.
One's a butt plug.
Her cats are just watching in horror.
They can smell the fish. Time for dinner. Sorry, that's hot. Please cut that out, Tom and Gifton, later on.
No, I make fish family jokes all the time.
Fair enough.
It's my favourite thing. To make jokes about, not to taste or witness. But yeah, they end up in Grimmauld Place and...
Moody said that the house appears and Moody says, "In you go, son," and pushes Harry forward and then barges past him in the hallway.
I didn't notice that.
I love this house, though. This is kind of like my dream house in a way. If it was like cleaner, I would like. I like the sort of spooky
vibe.
Yeah. I say that I'd be terrified to go to sleep at night, but every other time I would love living there.
So this is something that the movie doesn't really explain to the uninitiated. What's the deal with this house?
It's Sirius Black's house. He's like family home.
Yeah,
that's like kind of it. They're using it as like a secret headquarters.
Oh, sorry, I thought there was more to it than that.
No, like... it's kind of just because they've put a charm on it so that you can only find it if you've been told that it exists.
And that is not particularly a thing in the film. It's just like they make it appear by magic.
I don't think like we sort of miss anything by that though.
It's no,
like,
not well. Only in as much as
being later either.
Well, it does when Dumbledore dies because they all become secret keeper.
Yeah,
and...
well, do we get the talk about it in book 7?
We do in book 7.
I mean, sorry, in film 7.
I don't think we do.
I think they just go there in film 7 and it's just like a safe house. And I don't think that any of the... Because the Fidelius charm is a big thing because Harry's parents were kept secret and then found. That's not ever addressed in the films, I don't think. So it's not really a big deal.
Does it still have the racist house elf?
Yes.
There? Yeah.
Because they were going to cut Creature from the film and then... Because they ask her, can we cut this thing or is it important later? And then she was like, no, we got to keep Creature because he's a thing later.
Mm.
Which really, he didn't fucking need to be. Because like the bit in film 7, they could have just made it a different way. They found out what they needed to. Because the whole bit with the Horcrux is not even properly addressed in film 7, I don't think.
I can't even remember.
It's so brief.
Film
I might just
seven.
Be chatting shit. I'm probably just making up stories.
We're going to jump around between films. We're going to do 4 episodes of vague film chat.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
So first, what I really want to talk about right now, though, is how much I want to get boned by Gary Oldman in this film.
Do you know what? Watching Gary Oldman was really like...
Was it an awakening for you, Tom?
Yeah, it was for me. He's looking great in this movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I just think it's really like the... Almost the only points in this film where you feel like you're watching like real actors do a real film and you're like watching film acting done properly.
Absolutely.
And you're immersed in it and it's like, wow, this is real good. Watching Gary Oldman do his thing in this film. Kind of the only parts of the film.
I would say so. I think him and, not Tilda Swinton, I fucking wish. What's her name? Imelda Staunton.
I don't know who's that.
Oof, she's one who plays Umbridge. I think
both of she's
them
good, yeah.
Sort of
yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying, like, the rest of the adult cast is good, generally. But I don't know. Gary Oldman, for me, was the only one that really, like, pulled me in and was like, wow.
I feel like Gary Oldman's the kind of actor that he can't not be great. Like, he'll never just, like, sit on his laurel because he's like, I feel like he sort of always feels, like, obligated to do his best.
Yeah.
Whereas the others, I kind of think, like, they think like, it's like a kid's film kind of thing. Whereas I think Gary Oldman's like, well, no, you always got to be like 100%. Keep it 100.
Yeah, probably. Mm. I'm trying to think of someone else who's like him, who matches him. But yeah, not really. Like the Umbridge woman. She's good.
I got that same vibe from her. Yeah. Like she was really trying, I thought.
Yeah.
But I felt like she'd like made up a little like backstory for herself and stuff.
I genuinely felt like she had never masturbated.
Yeah.
Which I think is the intention.
But like she showed up and said, I was like, I kind of feel like she should be in a wheelchair. They're like, no.
Okay, African headdress.
A kind of Forrest Gump type character.
Can I at least be on crutches? No.
A blind blues musician.
But yeah, Sirius in his moustache, in his smoking jacket.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could... I was going to say that he could Gary my old man, but I was like... Yeah, he could fuck my dad. So we see Hermione and she almost, her bad acting almost enters the room before she does. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's pretty ghastly.
Yeah, ghastly.
It's yeah. Absolutely ghastly.
Just absolutely ghost Pokemon.
And there's a great line from Mrs. Weasley as well. She says, she complains about the twins and she's like, you can't just whip your wands out for everything.
Yeah, yeah, stop whipping your wands out, boys.
Yeah, that's it.
No, it's much closer to what you said.
Yeah, but everyone knows what she's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they haven't got any pants on.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I splinched myself.
Boys, stop garrying your old men.
Yeah. Oh, but he likes it. He's like, I do, Molly.
In here.
Anyway, school happens. So Harry, they get on the train. They say shit on the train.
I found myself, I picked up on a few moments where the adult actors who clearly haven't read the books... like mispronounce some of the magic-y words, like Cornelius Fudge addresses the Wizengamot as the Wiznagmot.
Does he?
Yeah. And like in film 6, Slughorn calls Butterbeer buttered beer.
Does he?
Yeah.
Really, Jim Broadbent, the most amazing actor on the planet, fucked up.
He is great.
Yeah,
he is great, but like he does like certain things that kind of remind me of like. When Meryl Streep was playing Margaret Thatcher with dementia, and I'm just a bit like,
oh God.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. I hope no one listening is like, oh, my gran's got dementia, because honestly, I'm so sorry. Kind of. Do you have photos?
Is it funny?
Yeah. Can we milk this for anything?
Yes. Has she left the bread out for too long?
Has she put porridge in the teapot?
I think we broke Gifted.
Has she left the gas?
Oh, God.
We'll cut that bit.
But I'm surprised that Jim Broadbent would fuck up a line like that.
Well, it's what happens, isn't it? He's a boy wizard, you say? Yes. It's your final scene on the moon.
Now just stand here, Mr. Broadbent.
Well.
Can someone call wardrobe? He's not meant to be in blackface. Who put him in blackface? Did you do this, Mr. Broadbent? And they're like, Daniel Radcliffe's just like hiding his minty brown stuff.
It was Daniel. I thought I just fell into my fireplace. Oh, Jim. Yes, we paid you already. Oh, God, sorry. I just released a documentary of Jim on set.
Anyway.
Yeah. And then they're on the train.
Yeah. Like, kind of the interesting bit happens when they get off and Harry sees a dead horse.
Did he? I don't remember this.
Well, he's a black horse that had no meat.
Oh, the thestral?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I so again, that's another thing that I felt this movie didn't explain to a newcomer like me.
I disagree. They have that whole speech in the forest with Luna where she like sums it up.
No, I just mean why I should care.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, God. Yeah, we meet Luna Lovegood, who I think I don't think she's an amazing actress yet. She's never an amazing actress, but she's not a good actress yet. But I think she still embodies that character perfectly.
She plays that character really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just find it like everything. Like in the same way that the film is a heavily watered down version of the book, the character's watered down along with it. Like, it's not her fault necessarily, I wouldn't say. It's just I don't feel the same. I don't like Luna in the film as much as I like her in the book, just because just as a part of the, you know, me not liking the film as much as I like the book, I think.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. We see some more great Hermione acting.
Oh, so, really?
Anyway, everyone, this is Luna. I mean, Luna Lovegood. That was better than what she did. And I'm like,
I was transported. Yeah, she really doesn't nail anything in this movie.
She needs a nailing.
Yes. Jim. It's like, yes.
Oh, Lord.
He's already got his trousers off. Perfect. Harry goes up into the common room and him and Seamus have a wrestling match.
They do. They have an Irish off.
Yeah. This was the first movie that was not guilty of anti-Irish sentiment, though.
Yeah, that's true. He was just angry, slightly drunk.
He was slurring his words a bit.
Like, what the fuck you say about me, ma?
Yeah. Man, if I can spill him again, it's...
He did say that, and it was a blatant product placement as well.
Yeah.
Like, he's like holding it in frame, like
in front of Harry's face.
We meet like Umbridge and stuff. I really like Imelda Staunton as her. I think she's really good.
Yeah,
me too. She's great. I really don't like that these tests are called OWLs.
It's a bit too kitchen, like, oh, okay.
Quirky bollocks you were talking about.
Quirky bollocks, yeah. Joanne and her quirky bollocks.
Is that an elastic band I see?
Anyway, yeah, I can't... One thing I feel like Imelda Staunton doesn't quite capture the... She hasn't got the same malevolence that Umbridge in the book does, I would say. And it's not her fault. She's doing it great. I just feel like there was that underlying sense of menace about book Umbridge, which I don't think she quite captures.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a lot of book to film translation loses a lot of character depth just inherently, I think.
Yeah.
Without wider context. Like,
yeah.
So as someone who's only seen the movie, I felt like she embodied that darkness quite well. I felt like there was something really like dark beneath that kind of empty smile.
I think that's true. I feel like in the book, though, there was a sense of real like danger about her, whereas I think with the film one, I think it's not as, she's not as scary in a way, and she loses her cool, which Umbridge never did in the books. And I kind of think that's it. She doesn't get, when she gets like easily like rattled in the films, which she didn't in the books. And I think that's sort of maybe like a missed opportunity on her part, because she could have easily done it. I just think she chose not to. And I kind of think maybe that wasn't the right choice.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Like, if she'd shown restraint throughout, that would have been like a more interesting, complex character to portray. Yeah.
They form the DA. We get the little montage of Umbridge becoming Inquisitor and the Inquisitorial squad. Yeah, it was a good montage. There's a bit that we hear Umbridge's voiceover saying, "Those who wish to join the Inquisitorial squad for extra credit can see me." And I'm like, what the fuck is extra credit? That's not a thing in this country.
Yeah, that's
it's not,
true.
It's not a thing at Hogwarts.
More importantly, yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
that is bizarre.
Yeah.
How bizarre.
This just quick side note, very satisfying. In this montage, Snape absolutely fucking clobbers Ron with his notebook.
Yeah.
And you really feel it. And it was just very
satisfying. I don't think I remember that bit.
I feel like Rupert Grint, after they yelled cut, was just like, fucking hell, that really hurt.
Bloody hell, Alan. Yeah.
You deserved it, you little fucker.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking, can you imagine if I decided I wanted to become a nun?
Is that what this film inspired in you?
I was just thinking, like, what if I just went to like a convent and I was like, I don't want to become a monk.
That's interesting, because this film made me like certain there is no God. There is no intelligent design.
Yeah. Do you think they would turn me away?
Yes.
But what if they didn't?
I mean, I'd say that's weird. That's a weird nunnery, convent.
Yeah. Can you imagine? But I was like, no, like I still want to carry on the podcast. Just if you know, like some slight changes. I'm like, okay,
you have to say grace before and after,
and then we find out it was a brothel all along.
I went in there to give him all the old labia elastic bands.
They put one on me and it just cut off the blood flow to my groin. So now I just have a gaping hole.
Oh, he's got a gaper, dude.
It's okay, they gave me a salve.
And a biscuit. Like, you know,
salve and a biscuit.
These movies, one thing I do like about these movies is that they throw in the odd British swear word.
Bloody
that
hell.
You don't hear that often.
Yeah.
This one throws in a tosspot when they meet in the pub. Ron, I think, calls Harry a tosspot.
Need to teach Americans these terms.
Yeah. But I did. So for ages, I thought that a tosspot was kind of like a really disgusting, really vulgar term where it's like, it's, you know, a cup or something that you wank into.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are they putting this in a kid's movie? So I looked it up. Apparently, it doesn't mean that at all. It's like a Middle Ages swear that describes someone who, like, tosses back drinks, like at pots of lager or pots of beer.
Ah.
So, like, someone who sort of does things with reckless abandon and is a bit idiotic about things.
I feel like now, just colloquially, it's just a synonym for tosser.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a little variation on that.
Means
probably
actually as well
derived
then.
From it.
Oh, probably. Yeah. And then we've probably just in like modern society just twerked the meaning.
That is what modern society does.
Yeah. We've twerked the meaning so that now it just means tossing off.
Yeah. I wonder where tossing off came from then. I reckon it means, I mean, it's easy to see where it came from. So I reckon that was a thing. And then someone like, so I reckon that tosser probably meant that. Like,
probably
like toss pot meaning, and then tossing off obviously like came, like you can see how that became a thing, and then someone just started using that for that and no one disagreed.
Yeah.
Right, so Harry's wanking off under the table into a cup.
And Ron's being a real toss pot.
Just laying on the floor with his mouth open.
And mine is like, Ron, stop being a toss pot.
This is the scene as well where, like, I just wrote down Daniel Radcliffe's chin really grew in. Like, it was where I noticed, like, fucking hell, his chin's really coming through. It's,
oh my
the,
god!
Like, puberty's taken its course, and I think it's the lighting. It's the lighting in the, what's it called, the three broomsticks?
No, it's the hog's head. This one.
Oh yeah, sorry, I'm confusing.
So do you know the guy who plays Aberforth? That we see that brief glimpse of him on the go. I thought that was Michael Gambon with like a chin wig on.
A chig.
Hey, is that guy wearing a chig?
A face merkin.
Oh, what's that dirty chig? Just like, I find that term very offensive.
See, that sounded more Welsh.
I thought Liverpudlian, but.
No, Wales would be like, I find that term very offensive.
That's
very offensive.
Yeah.
I find that term very offensive.
One thing I didn't get is why did they write all the names down in the three in the Hogshead.
Why do they?
Yeah, because obviously I know why they're doing the books, but I thought that was a bit odd to do it in the film.
Well, there's no explanation
as
to why. Yeah. Well, we do get a bit later on when they get all busted in Dumbledore's office. Dumbledore says, as you can see at the top of that parchment, it says Dumbledore's army.
Right, yeah.
And fair enough.
So it's for that reason, I guess. But we do get more of an explanation in the book as to why Hermione puts a charm on the piece of paper so that anyone who has written their name down, if anyone of them dobs them in, grasses them up. What's an American term for that? Rats them out.
Yeah.
Then then some bad shit will happen to them.
Anyway, the DA meetings all happen in the Room of Requirement and stuff, and I thought that the Room of Requirement was really stupid in this film.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I hate the way everyone could see it, and that everyone was, like, all the bad people were almost in the room up until the very last minute.
They were chasing it as like the door shrunk.
Yeah, I was like, it's not very secret room if everyone fucking knows where it is.
That's a fair point. I kind of found that amusing, that montage where Draco and Filch are like sort of running after the door just before it like shrinks into nothing.
Mm.
And then Filch has sat outside it for ages, but there's a back door that they're all sneaking out of.
Yeah, because they've left chocolates for him.
I think.
Yeah, I think that's the joke. Like they've left chocolates on a chair to kind of go like, sit and wait here and eat your chocolates. And it's just a like humorous distraction.
Yeah, he gets
spotted. It's a very humorous distraction.
I sort of like the music sort of makes that scene though. Because it's very like...
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of like the music telling you that this scene is funny.
Oh, yeah. The music guides you all the way through this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I needed it.
Score is so important, guys.
It is. But this... So
speaking of scoring, Harry stays behind after one of them to get slippery with Cho.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking hell, she can chow my mate.
She can minty my brown.
Can satay my chicken.
Oh, God, right. So she ends up like blasting a hole into the room. And I didn't like that either because I was like, it's not very magical then if anyone can fucking blast their way inside.
The bombarder.
Yeah. And also, if Filch and the Inquisitorial squad have known where that room is for fucking ages, because they had the whole shrinking door scene and like they've seen people disappearing through that wall, why is it only now that Umbridge is blasting a hole through a wall?
Yeah just drive a truck into it.
Exact. Thank you. I'm glad we're on the same page here.
But I did like that Cho was the reason that they all got caught
rather than her friend Marietta.
Yeah,
would have been awkward to have to introduce Marietta as a character.
Okay, I think I might have zoned out a bit because I don't remember how Cho got them caught.
So yeah, also, I don't remember noticing because I think when they blast the hole through the wall, they see that they've got Cho with them.
Yeah.
And she's all like, oh, I'm sorry, Harry. And
yeah.
But I sort of glazed over that bit, but they all blank her a couple of scenes.
Yeah. What's your question?
I can't remember.
No, because during the montage, we keep on getting little clips of Umbridge taking students into her office.
Mm.
And then later in the interrogation scene, she goes, Snape, get me some more of your Veritas serum.
Yeah, and he's like, you used the last of it on Miss Cho Chang.
Yeah.
But in the scene where Harry gets a bit slippery with Cho, he says, oh, I'm sorry.
When he describes it as wet, quote unquote. Yeah.
He says to her, I hear Umbridge gave you a really rough time the other day.
Yeah.
So was that when she told her?
Yeah.
It must have been.
She gave her a cup of tea and then she...
But then why... So why had they not been discovered by that point?
Because
that was before Christmas.
I think she was on a Coke binge. Because there is a bit when Harry first goes into her office, she's like, Mr. Potter, you're here to do some lines with me.
Yeah. Clearly. Shit's gonna get mad, Potter.
Yeah, that's not sugar in my bowl. She puts a ton of it in her tea as well. It's like, fuck, you know, shit playing around.
She's got a really long coke nail through the whole movie. It's like a teaspoon.
Oh, she's like, it makes it hard to wipe, but it's worth it.
Oh.
Oh, Mrs. Umbridge.
Yeah, she's got brown fingernails the whole movie.
Yeah, it's weird that Cho's with her when they discover them in the DA room. then.
Yeah, like they've brought Cho along because she's just ratted them out. But Harry's already said to her a few scenes ago, I hear Umbridge gave you a really hard time.
Yeah.
So she must have interrogated her a second time and only the second time given her Veritas serum and then...
Or maybe she didn't ask her the right questions the first time she gave it to her.
Or it could just be some lazy writing and they were like, oh, fuck.
I feel like that's more likely.
Like, how the fuck do we make it obvious to someone like me?
So what happens after that? They go to Dumbledore's office and then we get fucking the Dumbledore... confrontation, the confrontation, the confrondor.
The confrumbledor.
I hate Kingsley in this film, by the way.
Yeah, he doesn't have any of the gravitas that Book Kingsley does.
And I feel like they made him into sort of like a racial caricature of like a foreign wizard for this film, when he's not that at all in the books. He's just a black British guy in the books. And I hate that they didn't just keep that as a thing.
I didn't even know who you're talking about until you said it was he was black. Because I don't know, because they never mentioned that his name's Kingsley in the movie.
I guess they don't. They address him as, Fudge addresses him as Shacklebolt at one point. Well, he says, Dawlish, Shacklebolt.
Oh, right. Come here. Shacklebolt. The one black guy.
Jesus.
Yes, his full name is Martin Luther Kingsley Shacklebolt. I was going to call him McSlavius, but... But yeah, like everyone else is dressed in like a suit and stuff, and he's dressed in like... I don't know.
I was ready to beat down on how they had dressed him, but then I was like, actually, Dumbledore's not dressed all that different to him.
That is true. So I'll give them that. I just feel like it was a weird choice to make because it's not how he was presented in the books at all.
Right.
And
I felt
like, because in the books, he sort of present. I also imagine him as sort of literally like Idris Elba in the sort of like his like attitude and his sort of like vibe.
Yeah.
Very sort of like London kind of guy. And I feel like, why make such an extra leap for that character that was never there? It was just an odd choice for me, I think. Anyway, yeah, so Dumbledore does the whole disappearing act. And King's like, say what you want about Dumbledore, but the man's got style.
Yeah, which I didn't like.
I remember, that's what I wanted to say. So there's many bits in this film where characters say lines that... And I can't remember if I'm confusing it with my view, with my watching experience of film 4, but I don't think I am. But I have like vivid sort of memories of being in a packed Harry Potter cinema and the fans like cheering at stupid fuck off lines that the character had to say.
So yeah.
In film 4, like when Ron said piss off in film 4, everyone's like, woo! And clapped and stuff. And I'm sure I remember that when he said that line, the he's got a style line in this film, that everyone's like, yeah.
It was like whooping. Yeah.
I'm like, fuck off.
I feel like those lines are designed specifically for cinema audiences, though.
Yeah.
It is in the book, but it's not Kingsley that says it.
No, it's Phineas Nigelis. And it's cool when Phineas says
it. Oh, yeah. It's one of the old headmasters in one of the portraits who says it.
Okay.
It's just stuff that isn't funny, but fucking like...
But in the context of what's funny in Harry Potter, well, it's not funny, but it's like a suave, like slick line.
I just think it's a line that people who don't have a sense of humour laugh at.
But you've got a bad memory associated with it, so it's like doubly so for
you. I just hate when people laugh at stupid shit.
Yeah.
Nothing pisses me off more in this world than people who laugh at things that aren't funny. I can't deal with it. I go through Instagram sometimes and see things where it's like, oh, you're like a true Harry Potter fan if you get this. And it's like a picture of a spoon that has a Ron's emotional range etched into it. Like the phrase.
Oh, because of Hermione's line, yeah.
And I'm like, if you fucking laugh at that, I'm sorry to go.
This is it, man.
Do you like report posts like that? Yeah. As like offensive.
This is it, man. Like... 90% or more of Harry Potter memes, I'm sure, are not even designed to be like funny. They're just supposed to give like a moment of recognition.
I don't think that's true. I think they are designed to be funny.
But maybe that's it. But that's the only way I can.
No, I feel like people make those memes thinking that they're fucking hilarious, and other people laugh at them.
I wonder if anyone does actually laugh, or if anyone's just like, oh yeah, I get it.
I think they're like, that. And even that's too much for me. I'll be like, fuck off.
It's just like applauding. Not that I do peruse a lot of Harry Potter memes, but I feel as though a lot of memes in general that are cinema related are just sort of applauding. It's the Stuart Lee thing. It's like applauding your own ability to remember stuff.
Yeah.
Like you making a cultural reference, and so that anyone who also gets that culture, that's like just obscure enough for people to feel proud of themselves for understanding it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't remember what happens next. Like, it's kind of the main stuff. Oh no, it's the Grawp shit. That whole bit they should have cut from the film, I think. That Grawp scene was stupid.
Twin giant brother.
Yeah.
His giant brother. The CGI for whom looks terrible, I must say.
It's dog shit. It's so bad.
It looks like an animated character.
They put those dots on Jim Broadbent. Oh god, I just thought, what a useless scene, because they could have changed, they only had him so that he could come along in the end, and they could have removed him from the ending sequence.
Yeah, they could have easily done the ending Umbridge in the wood being carried off by the centaurs thing without Grawp.
They could have cut that entire scene. Maybe it was like a contractual thing, they needed to put Robbie Coltrane in there somewhere.
Possibly. I do like it when they announce that Hagrid's back, and Harry's with Cho, and like Hermione goes, Hagrid's back, and then he kind of turns
straight up ditches
her. He goes, I'm sorry. But I don't know what he's sorry for.
Just for all of it.
Just for everything. Oh.
Oh, God. So, I couldn't remember is why they end up in Umbridge's office for her to catch them.
Because they are trying to use the flu network to get to the Ministry of Magic because Harry has seen a vision of...
Oh, yeah, because the fucking Weasleys... I don't know why I did that. Fucking Weasleys! Bruh, yeah, because they did all the firework display shit, which was nice. That was a good use of the CGI budget. And then Harry has his vision outside.
Harry has a little episode, outside when...
Has his little, like, epileptic fit.
Yeah, and sees...
Hermione puts her badge in his mouth so he doesn't swallow his tongue.
Have you been talking with Vernon?
It's the only way, Ron.
Yes, it's just as good as a leather wallet. Oh, God, yeah, but we see and there's little fucking, like, flashes. Gary Oldman is acting so good.
Yeah.
He's just so good.
I like that Dolores Rooms has all the cats on the plates.
I love her office.
All the pussy plates.
Yeah. As called in the book, presumably. Yeah. I think so.
Do you think she has a pink, like, pubis?
How pink are we talking?
Just like from where the hair starts to, I feel like it goes right around to the crack with her. It's just a seamless, like, massive pink. And she's like, the quest for you, Harry, is to find the opening. But it all matches, you see.
It's all pink.
Yes, you might be inside and you don't even know it. So you got to go deeper.
Alohomora won't get you there this time.
Oh, it's gone all red. There we are.
I'm not Harry.
Jim! Oh, I see you're both Broad and Bent.
Nice.
I'm sorry, that was a terrible joke.
No, I loved it.
So they end up in the forest and she's taken away on a horse.
I just don't buy how anyone bought Hermione's lie. It wasn't convincing to me at all.
That's what everyone on set said.
And they're paying her? Well, if Warner Brothers wants to piss its money off the wall, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have.
No, she was underage. I wouldn't have.
Oh, God.
Either.
Not, at least not until the next film.
Oh, God. So, yeah, her lie brings into the forest and then I quite liked it. Oh, that's it. This is the line I thought, fuck off. Because this line definitely got a cheer in the audience.
Yeah, it must have.
Yeah, so when she gets carried away by the things and then she's like, tell him I'm not bad. And he's like, sorry, Professor, I must not tell lies.
Yeah.
And everyone like, whooped.
Yeah, it's that sass, isn't it? Like, anytime anyone gets any sort of small amount of sass, everyone's like, woo, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, fuck off.
It is very much fuck off, yeah.
Never met me, you know?
Well, no, but that's what I mean. It's sass in the context of the Harry Potter story.
Yeah, but it's like there's only like twice that they've said something genuinely sassy and funny in the books. And one is when they're in astrology and Ron goes, oh, can I have a look at your Uranus too, Parvati?
That's not like, really sassy, though. That's just
fine. Okay, but sassy when Harry says to Snape, when Snape's like, oh, did you do this thing? And then he's like, yes. And then he's like, yes, sir. And he's like, there's no need to call me sir, Professor.
I'm yeah.
Like, oh, that's good.
I was like, yeah. Okay, I'll laugh at that.
Yeah.
I also quite liked the bit in, I liked the line, but then it's ruined by shitty acting, like immediately afterwards, when Romilda Vane's like, who's pretty hot, by the way. Oh, wait, no, this is the next film, isn't it? I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Where she's like, she only likes you because you're the chosen. She thinks you're the chosen one. And he's like,
I am the chosen
one. Well, I am the chosen one.
Yeah, I
think he's really good in that film. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, like horses and then more horses, but these ones are dead. And then they fly to London.
Yeah, for some reason, I know I said this when we did the thing in the, when we got to this bit in the book, but they fucking, the whole reason they broke into Umbridge's office was to use the flu network there to travel to the ministry. The main thing that was going to get in their way of doing that was Umbridge catching them. Mm. Now Umbridge has just been taken away into the forest on a fucking, by horse people.
Yeah.
So there's nothing. So how do we get to London now? Now that the way we...
pre-op transcentors.
Oh, I know. We'll get on these things and fucking fly across the country.
Yeah.
Now that the way we were going to get there instantly is free.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any fucking sense. Anyway, there's no joke at the end of that.
Is it ever discussed what actually happens to her?
Yeah, she gets taken to forest and then Dumbledore finds her and brings her back.
She walks with a strange gait after that.
Yes.
I mean, you could be right. I don't know.
Someone's like, you can have that wheelchair now if you want.
Her pelvis isn't pink anymore.
No.
Sorry, pubis. So that line got whoops, I think, not just because it's meant to be sassy, because it's not sassy, but I think it is meant to be quite cathartic, because you're finally seeing like your protagonist get his own back on the main antagonist of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that's more the reason for the whoops.
It's not, I get it. I would expect the whoops. I would still wish they would fuck off, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be an inside whoop.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I felt an inside whoop watching it.
Yeah, it's like,
I was like, oh yeah, no, that's satisfying.
It's the fact that people were like, woo, like that in the field. Sorry, it's the fact that people felt the need to vocalize that, like it was the best thing that had happened to them all week.
Mm. It probably was.
That's the thing. I'm like, fuck off, fuck off. I should have stood up and said, fuck off.
And I'm just like, and they go, woo.
Or just gone, all right, we're doing that, and just whoop by yourself at random points.
Woo, girl! Oh no, she did.
So the credits are rolling.
So they're at the ministry now.
Yeah.
This whole scene, right? So this, what bothers me about the scenes, that they don't say the prophecy in total when he picks up the
it just says like three sort of key lines from the prophecy,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Like, yeah. That's the most important thing we hear in any Harry Potter book.
Mm.
Or like one of the top three important things.
What bothers me is that when the Death Eaters are chasing them all through the rooms with all the glass orbs, Death Eaters don't cast a single spell.
Oh, and they do in the book.
They're not throwing spells after that, because they've all separated. It's only Harry that's got the prophecy, and they want to be like throwing stunners at Neville and Luna and the others. They're not. Yeah. They're just like intensely walking after them, and then every time one of the good guys throws a stunning spell back at them, they just block it and keep walking towards them.
Yeah.
Like, what are you
so
doing?
True.
Yeah.
They should have just pulled out a knife and just shivved one of them.
Just Avada Kedavra'd the whole lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why does this Why does this not happen?
Well, in the books, they have like a proper... There's like lots of different rooms that they have to go through in the books. And the Death Eaters cast all those spells at them.
Right.
And yeah. And I mean, to be fair, a lot of them miss like Star Wars Stormtrooper style.
Nice.
But like they're throwing spells at them and they're ducking it to get out of the way and everything. Not just like intensely marching after them in that weird villainy way when you know the villain's never really going to catch them. It's just supposed to be a chase scene.
Yeah, I agree. Helena Bonham Carter.
That's all.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
Heaving bosom.
I didn't notice her tits. I was looking at her.
I always notice her. I do have a bit of a cinema crush on her. I don't think she's very good in these movies, but
really?
Well, I think she's hit and miss, but In this one, I don't like her. Film 6, she gets better. But, yeah.
I thought she was great in all these films, actually. I think she sells it really well, personally. I think she matches Bella in the books, like, perfectly.
Mm.
I think.
And then, yeah, she murders Sirius.
Yeah, I hate it in the film.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a nothing.
It was a little bit like... I don't know, like, how does the killing spell work? Are they dead instantly, or do they get a dramatic death scene facial expression before they...
Yeah, I know what you mean. He should have died instantly, and then...
Just fallen limp to the floor.
Yeah, and then Harry kicks him into the curtain.
Yeah, you're supposed to go behind the curtain, Gary.
And then we got... I don't get these wand battles, like, what is this jizz that's kind of coming out the ends of their wands?
Stupid. All the like smoky, disappearing apparition thing, fucking Moody having his wand in his staff, Tonks having more screen time. Because all of it is so, it's just so unnecessarily flash and pointless. Oh, God. So they end up in the atrium and then fucking. I was pronouncing his name wrong. I've always said Ralph Fiennes because that's what someone told me about. It's Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Which you've said correct before.
I pronounce it Voldemort, but I don't know. Maybe that's lost in me.
Oh, God. So he appears.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and Dumbledore arrive for the final showdown.
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na.
Some decent CGI in this bit.
Oh, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I like all the molten magic and all the molten fire and the molten glass.
But I just like melting stuff.
Yes. Give me a lighter.
Why doesn't he kill Harry here? Like,
in the book, he tries, didn't he? He fires a thingy at Harry. In the book, he fires a killing curse at Harry and one of the statues in the fountain leaps off and it like foings off of
A couple of times because Fawkes comes in and swallows one of the bolts.
The other times he's sending it at Dumbledore. That's because the fountain animates and then that's when we know that Dumbledore's appeared because he made it block the killing curse from Harry.
Right.
So yeah. This whole scene is longer in the film though. In the book, the possession scene is like a short paragraph. It goes inside Harry. And then he's like, ugh, and then he comes out again straight away.
Yeah, it's over before you've realised what it is. It's like, ugh, I'll stick it.
Pooey.
This boy's coked out his mind.
Don't like this at all. Give me a tissue. Yeah, but in the film, it's like his whole bit. And he's like, oh, Harry, let me put things in your head. then Harry, Daniel Radcliffe, pushes his acting further than he's ever pushed it before. Oof.
Yeah.
He does lots of stomach grabbing. He does lots of chin acting in this moment.
Mm-hmm. You were saying his chin's really come through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's a prosthetic.
A remote control chin. Oh, God. But what does he say? I don't remember what he says. He says something shitty to Dumbledore.
You have lost, old man. Something like that.
Chin. How do you find that very offensive? Yeah, and then Harry's like, you're the shitty one. You'll never know love or friendship. I feel sorry for you. And then Voldemort comes out.
Yeah.
He's like, guys, I've got something to tell you all.
But yeah, this is the weird, like, stasis moment where, like, Dumbledore is, like, outside of the possession zone. And he's, like, frozen in time. But Voldemort, like, comes out Harry and he's like, something, you will lose everything, Potter. But Dumbledore's just, like, frozen watching it.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Not really sure what's happening here, because it's not like it's all in Harry's mind, because when the other Ministry wizards come, they see him in the, like, sand circle.
I really zoned out at this part of the movie, to be honest.
I wonder how long it took to film. I kind of hope they did it in, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah, I reckon it's probably about that. 45 at the most, surely.
Like, Daniel, if you just look up at the camera, we'll animate this. And
then... Yeah, just pop this chin on. Oh, that's about it, isn't it?
That is pretty much him and Luna find her shoes, and then which
it pisses me off that she leaves them up there.
Well, no,
it's the point that other people
have been taking them.
Yeah,
and someone's
so
thrown
she
them up
finds
there.
No, but that's her shoes.
Oh, I see what you mean. They just walk
past. Oh, and
past
then she goes,
them.
I think I'll go and get some pudding. And then just leaves them there.
Yeah, Harry should be like, but you shouldn't
The thing is, they've got magic. She could have got them down in like a second.
Yeah.
What
if she steps on a HIV needle?
Hogwarts is littered with those.
Yeah. She's like, oh, how lucky.
You know, they say in Dublin that's lucky.
Yeah, it was ladies on the street, you know, selling HIV needles in tinfoil. Yeah, and then Harry gives a rousing speech. He's like, ah, let's all be friends in the future. And Harry,
yeah.
And Ron and Hermione's like, yeah.
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 Then it's... Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Did he do the music for all of them, or just did he write that theme? John
Dang
Williams.
It was just a Casio demo for everything. Oh my god. Anyway, the film's over and we're all the better for it.
The film's over and so is this episode. Bye.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. I hope you've had fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least that'll make someone.
Yeah. Fast approaching the end. Of season one.
Fucking hell, yeah.
It's been a ride.
Sure
has been a ride. Let's not get sentimental.
No.
Now let's get on with it. Come on.
Well, without much ado, about nothing.
About much more ado. There's already been some ado.
Yes. It's already been... Oh, I haven't bothered to make that joke anyway.
Yeah. That would be too much. That would be more ado. Let's get on with it.
I tell you, if you want any more of our fucking dulcet tones, tune into our Patreon. It's $3.99 a month, and you get an episode on the first and third Friday of every month from our exclusive Patreon-only series, Poorly Read at the Movies. Do it. Patreon.com/poorlyread.
Yeah, we've got merch and stuff as well. We're going to get some cool Poorly Read designs on some merch on poorlyread.redbubble.com. Buy stuff and tag us in photos if you buy stuff.
Yes, but with much more enthusiasm than what Tom just said. Visit us on our socials on Instagram and Twitter at poorlyreadpod and email us your teens at poorlyread@gmail.com.
I will be for those memes that Tom's created that I was unaware
Why
of.
Why are they not called that?
Mm-hmm.
Memes.
Yeah, I would love that so much. Memes. Sounds right, like sort of like a soft word for mammaries.
She's got a good set of memes.
Yeah, it's coined. Anything else?
Give
us a 5-star review on our fucking on Apple Podcast app. Do it, it's good for you.
And I have. And I'm cancer free.
Oh god, and with all that ado, there's no further ado. So I've been Gifted.
And I've been Tom.
And I've been Dan.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.